I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. He's traveling and here to comment on three nations that are intimately involved in the migrants at the southern border, through the Darien Gap, across Central America, to Texas or California, Arizona, New Mexico. Number one is Venezuela, and Joseph has spoken eloquently about the Venezuelans being driven out of their country with deprivations, persecutions, the dictatorship of Maduro. Ecuador is number two. Ecuador is also the receiving state for travelers from China, increasingly flying into Quito and busing north through Colombia to reach Panama. I'm keen on Ecuador now because it's in the news again because of assassination. You will recall a major candidate for Ecuador's most recent presidential election was assassinated right after we heard the assassination of a mayor in one of the big ports on the Pacific Ocean. Now there's been another assassination of a mayor, Garcia, along with the driver of the mayor. And the president of the country, Daniel Noboa, is in shock. He's also a young man. Joseph, what I take from this assassination is that Ecuador is not in any way solved, that the Korea faction or the gangster faction, whatever it is, continues gunplay in Ecuador. Is that accurate?
Yes. So Ecuador, as we talked about many times in the program, has become spiraled into the throes of transnational organized crime. And the problem is, it's not just one group, like you can identify perhaps in Mexico and other, like, you know, the specific cartels. There's over thousands of groups that are what they call micro trafficking involved with the drug enterprise inside Ecuador. But they're specifically also controlling the strategic infrastructure inside the country, most notably road and railways and ports. And that's what's driving the violence at the untenable levels, particularly along the Pacific coast from Guayaquil to Manta to Manabí in the country. The president, and you have to remember that he was elected as the interim president because they're going to have another election relatively soon, since the former president, Guillermo Lasso, did not finish his term. The president has taken a much more hard-hand approach to clamping down on transnational organized crime. And I would say it is beginning to show some effects in terms of being able to wrestle back control of some of this territory that I've been talking about. Nonetheless, you have to expect that the criminal groups and the cartels are going to punch back. And that's what you're seeing, I think, with the political assassination of his most recent political candidate. This is something that, as you mentioned, John, we've seen, unfortunately, too often in Ecuador. So it's not necessarily something new that's happening, but it's going to be a bit more contentious as time goes on, because the current president, Daniel Noboa, has made it very clear that combating transnational organized crime is among his top priorities in the country, along with all the economic and other priorities that he has for Ecuador. So this is going to be, I think, a fight that we're going to continue to see throughout the weeks and months to come.
I mentioned Colombia because in the news is Gustavo Petro, the president of Colombia, who himself was a rebel once upon a time, a revolutionary. And there's an odd item from Petro, and we've not spoken of him for several weeks. We've been so taken with Venezuela and other parts of the troubled lands. "I want him alive," reads the Reuters copy. "Colombia's Petro demands capture of rebel leader." He's pointing to the leader of a group called the EMC. Joe, you spent a lot of time along the Colombia border with Venezuela. These gangs are well known. They're moneymakers. They're linked with transnational organizations, sometimes sovereign states. So Petro, is he worn out his welcome in the gangland? I don't understand this demand. He's talking like Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, so this is Colombia is essentially the linchpin of a lot of what we've been talking about when it comes to migration, drug trafficking, and all these other threats that are happening in Latin America, mostly because of its geographic positioning. It's the neighbor to Venezuela. We've spoken a lot about how Venezuela's Maduro regime is probably the biggest totalitarian regime in the neighborhood, right next to Cuba. But it's also on the borders of Panama through the Darien Gap and on Ecuador into the Pacific Ocean. And what you're seeing in all those cases is—
1 minute, Joseph. Go ahead.
And really quick, what you're seeing in all those cases is you're seeing a lack of serious effort by the Petro government to start the curb on either migration, terrorism, or drug trafficking, and it's affecting its neighbors. And I think Panama and Ecuador are the most notable in that sense, and they've made this, at least in the case of Panama, very public in that regard.
And so Petro's demand here is something he's He's rewarded for? This is applause from the people of Colombia? Yes?
No, Petro's done a lot of things in the recent last few months that really don't have a lot of popular opinion. Okay. You could turn to like even his promotion of Hamas, essentially, and the Israel-Gaza conflict. That doesn't give him political points at home, but builds his credibility with his international allies. And so I think Petro's becoming more and more open and kind of exposed of where his political preferences are is on foreign policy.
Joseph Omar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. This is New World Report. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.